side of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Greeno and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
So much luck today, but you do because you've tuned in to what's that, Joe? Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts Ray Guarino and his wingman Joe D.
Yes, I was going to say that sign would probably read something like "Out of Gas," or depending on what time of the day, night or day it is, maybe White Castle.
I was at White Castle last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yes, I was. I had to go.
That's pretty good, and that means I should get the fire extinguisher ready just in case.
It was days ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's dissipated. Excellent, excellent.
You know, I had to go to, I went to our good friend Gerard's shop, Rolling Thunder Cycles. I had to pick up an empty barrel to transport some safety clean fluid.
Uh-huh.
And he's right down the road from White Castle.
Of course.
So I hit there. Then I hit Reister's.
Belly Bombers.
Then I hit Reister's Bakery where I get those donuts.
Oh, them jelly donuts?
Yeah, and I brought a box of them to the shop.
Right.
So Mike and his grandfather.
So nothing got done because everybody was in jelly donut coma.
Oh, they were loving it. Yeah, jelly and Boston cream. I had three of each.
Oh, my God. You're just a glutton for punishment.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, yeah, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah, glutton for pain. Not pain, but punishment, but glutton for pleasure, you know.
Oh, yeah. We like all our vices, you know, bench mounted and otherwise.
Yep.
So anyway, if you want to get in on the fun today, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Yeah, we're guestless.
We are guestless.
We're talking to each other.
We thought we had a guest, but the guest dropped out, so that happens.
Yeah.
You know, no worry. We'll get him in here again another time.
No, you know, excrement occurs.
Yeah, sure.
So you can't always. But that's all right. We have Plan B. We have Plan C.
Yeah, and we're Plan B and C.
Right. Actually, that would be Plan J or Plan R. Yeah,
exactly.
Get out of my head.
Right.
And see, now I'm seeing flashy things in front of my eyes there.
But also, make sure you go and visit us on social media. Go to motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, which is Motormouth Radio, and on Instagram, which is real_motormouth radio, and get in on the fun that way. Until then, we'll get in on the phone with the callers and say, hi, you're on with Ray and Joe.
Hey, hi, you're on with the Bronc.
What's up,
Bronc?
Plan 9 from outer space, since all the other plans aren't working.
Absolutely, that one always works.
Right. You know, you just mentioned White Castle, and it was funny. Yesterday, I had a couple of guys over, and we started to watch the Meek Immortal sales, and we started reminiscing. So then when you said White Castle, it goes, okay. Brought me back to Boston Post Road. In the mid-60s, White Castles were a nickel each. I think that was before your guys' times, right?
Really?
Yeah, it was a nickel each for a belly bomb. And they had the car hops, believe it or not, with the roller skates. And they'd come to your car, put the little tray on the window there, and you'd buy a sack.
Wow.
So, great memory. Good times, that's it. So we started thinking about the cars that you drove when you were kids.
Right.
Back what your first car was.
Okay.
All right. And I think of mine. Mine was the first one. Was a 63 Sport Fury convertible with the push-button torque flight.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. Push-button torque,
right.
Yes.
And, It was, and blew up transmissions. It was a 727, which was a great transmission. And you just rev it up because you had the neutral button there. You're in neutral, right? You rev it, and then you're just slamming it to drive, and then you lay rubber all the way down the street, you know, like neutral drops, which I don't think anybody knows about these days anymore, or don't do for whatever reason.
CVTs don't do them too well.
Not only that, but a lot of times the newer cars with, like, electronic throttles and stuff will be like,
yep.
What's this guy doing? Stop that right there.
Right.
Don't.
So, going back, so I got rid of that car, and then it was, I think, around 1967 or so, I picked up a 65 442 convertible. I was working in a shop.
Nice.
And it was a smash, the rear end of a Toronado. It was a 66 Toronado when it came out with the 455s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this thing was just plowed up to the back windshield.
Oh.
So the insurance company came, and I bought the car from the insurance company for like $50, $75, whatever it was, because it was a total. Back then, you could buy the car. I don't know if they still do that now, you know, when a car was total. So I bought it from the owner.
Jump through, yes.
And we pulled the 455 out. And a friend of mine was working for Oldsmobile back then. Now, you remember, I think, 68. I think 68, they came out with the W30, W32. You remember those packages?
Oh, sure.
W30, right? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they had a limited edition. Now, I don't know if it was a manufacturer's package or a dealer, but it was a W35 package. I don't know if you remember that one.
That
I don't remember. No, not a 35.
That's like that movie,
and
Mr. Mom, 220,
cam.
221, whatever it takes. Yeah, okay.
It was a different camshaft, that kind of a thing there.
Right.
Right, and it was a manifold with larger ports on it. You know, basically, that's all the package was. So I pulled the 455, I got the W35 package, whatever it was, put it in the 442. I picked up... three-speed, I think it was a turbo 400 out of a 67 GTO with the his and her dual gate.
That would be correct,
yes.
Right, put that in. You remember that, the his and her shifter?
Sure.
390 rear, and I was driving it back and forth to National Speedway out in Cinema Riches, you know, from the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was racing. They put me in a modified production back then, you know, big block modified. And I was turning nice. I was doing low to mid-12s, you know, consistently. Until the last race, I blew something. And I remember my friend, and this totally crazy, we had a strap. He towed me from Cinema Riches on the Northern State Parkway over the Whitestone Bridge right back to the Bronx. And not one cop stopped us.
Wow.
Well, yeah, right, there's more White Castles and donut shops at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what you had, because you didn't have any fast food place. And I think in the late 60s, the next fast food place that came out was Wetson's. I don't know if you remember that chain.
Of course you do,
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Brock, right, you take us for being a lot younger than we are.
Hey, you know, I haven't sucked my thumb in 3 or 4 hours. Come on,
exactly.
Give me a break here.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Poor baby.
No, I'm just saying. Okay. So, Wetson's, right? There was one right on Sunrise Highway and Valley Stream.
Oh, because they had one in the Bronx. Now, I never left the Bronx in those years. So
there was one in the Ring, too.
Bronx.
Okay.
In fact, the first time I went to Long Island was in 1971 when I went for a job interview at Long Beach High School for the auto shop position.
Uh-huh.
Right, so it was funny. So I get a phone call, and looking for a teacher. It was the teacher placement office at City College, and one of my friends, you know, set up. So I called up Long Beach, and the first question was, how far on Long Island are you? How do I get there from the Bronx, and how long does it take me to get there? I had no idea about Jones Beach, Long Beach, nothing.
Of course.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
That was the far reaches of the galaxy right there.
Yeah, did the commute. It was, lived in a city, lived in the Bronx, went from the Bronx to Long Beach, and then I was taking my master's at City College in Harlem, and they did that for 3 years, that triangle. Yeah, so
wow.
It brings back a lot of good memories,
nice.
That kind of, you know. Real fast, another car I had a lot of fun with, had a 63 409 with the 2.4s convertible.
So
and that
fun.
Was another fun car, you know. So, yeah, just good times. You know, thanks for that opening. You really brought back a lot of good memories.
Yeah,
so maybe some of the calls will call in that are old geezers like myself and talk about their experiences with their first car back in the 50s and the 60s, and get some great insight of what they did and what was happening, and just a lot of fun.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. It always does seem to evoke those feelings. We agree, Bronk.
Yeah, everybody right? always
definitely,
remembers their
definitely.
First car.
Well, right. I'm going to cut you short. I got a Mazda to look at with a banging noise sound, so I'm going to go play with that, and then I'm going to go take a bike ride. It's beautiful out here.
Excellent.
So,
good for you. Excellent.
All right, Bronk.
So that's my day, guys.
Okay.
So,
like
I'll leave you with that thought.
Catch
okay?
you later. All right, very good.
Go unbang that Mazda.
Take care, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
So long, Bronk. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was the Bronk from Nevada catching us up on all his exploits.
I usually find that taking the victim out of the trunk eliminates the banging noise.
Sometimes it does.
You know?
You leave him there long enough, it takes care of itself.
Yeah, it's true. Then you got to get that car bomb stuff from...
yeah, exactly.
Okay, we've just made a turn for the dark, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens. Like, you look out the window, it's a little, the clouds are coming in, so it's getting dark. And oh, look at that. We had another flash of light.
Ah, boy, things are happening here quick. Let's go back to the phones and go back to the hilarity and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Vic, what's happening?
What's happening?
Same old, same old. Yeah, Bronk said that the W30s came out in 68. They actually came out in 65. They made about 28 of them.
Okay.
Very rare, very rare. But you heard the deal with Englishtown fell through, right?
I did not. No. Update us, please.
It's exactly what I said. They were going to bring thousands of leaky, oily cars and put them into the groundwater.
DEC got
involved.
Right.
And all these people, I said, you know, they got to have the three car carriers coming through 24/7.
Yeah.
They got pissed off at that.
Of course. Well, the people in that neighborhood, yeah, they don't want that happening. No way.
Right. So the one day a week for the racetrack, they're better off.
Absolutely.
See what happens.
Everything got sold to Island, the Christmas tree, the tractors, the track cleaners, and all that.
Okay.
Island Drive.
So,
okay.
So now, I heard there were some interested parties. A large racing group is involved. I heard that. And somebody just told me now that Richard Rawlings wants to rent the track out.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe he'll get run over, or a farm truck, or Adrian will get run over.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, at least we know that it's not about to turn into a joint car graveyard / parking lot anytime
right.
soon. You know what I mean?
There
may be some still hope.
Yeah.
First day I said that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the people out at Bridgehampton. They were annoyed at the racetrack. But they'd rather have that back than what they got now, the golfing and all.
Yeah.
So. The devil you know is better than the devil you
hey,
don't
Vic,
know.
I got to run something by you. I was talking to Christian the other day because I was at Rolling Thunder Cycles picking up that barrel, and I was talking to one of the mechanics he says to me, hey, Ray, I need a little help with something. You're the guy to talk to. Like, what do you need? He goes, I need a bucket. I'm like, what? A bucket. I'm like, was there a leak? Because it was raining that day. I thought, no, he's looking for like
the bathroom's over there.
He's looking for a tea bucket. And I said, why? Anyway, he's looking for a project car, something that's maybe somebody was building and then got out of, something that's not a total, total basket. And I ran it by Christian. He says, did you ask Vic? I said, no, but I will. He's on my list.
Yeah.
So,
one in Bethpage.
Okay, you got to let me know about that, and I'll pass it on. And and then, of course, the Vessi Sea Cab came up. Christian said you would know where that is.
His brother's got it.
Okay, all right. That's a local car from the Belmore area.
All right,
yeah.
All right.
So, if you can get in touch with me, let me know that info, and I'll pass it on. So
He's probably listening now anyway. So
Okay.
I wonder when he's going to put the deuce back on the road, or if it ever left the road.
Now, wait, who's listening, the T-Bucket guy or the...
No. Christian's father's deuce.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, yeah, well, Christian's... No, that car's on the road, yeah.
Yeah.
That's on the road, yeah. So,
you got to ask him, you got to have his father tell you the story of how much he paid for that car and all.
Yeah, you know what? Cars like that have great stories. They really do.
Yep. So, and that one does, actually.
Cool. Very good. I'll definitely look into that.
I remember going to sleep in the rumble seat. They forgot about me when we got home.
Yeah, well, that'll happen. Did they close it?
Yeah.
right.
Did you fit?
I'm actually going out and working on the gas right now.
Excellent.
Some brackets.
Excellent.
Yep.
All right.
Good. Well, keep listening to us anyway while you do that.
Why?
I don't really listen, so don't break my concentration.
Good. Yeah, I want to bother you.
Yeah,
all right, Vic, we'll catch up with you later.
Catch you later, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right. So that's good.
So anybody out there, especially my Queens boys, if anybody's got a T-bucket laying around,
yeah,
let me know.
We'll talk about that a little more. But now, Joe, we're going to take our first break, and I got something that people are going to be surprised at. I mean, I wasn't too surprised. You know, I used Cream as our intro because we're big Cream fans.
Absolutely.
And no one knows your alter ego. No one knows that you did announcing for the BBC. And I didn't even
I tried not to let people know about that.
So I was able to procure the tracks, and I like the way you disguise the English accent disguises people's voice. You really can't tell it's you. So I'm going to use those as our intros for our commercial breaks today, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I'll just have to have my agent, shoot a text out to my agent to be sure. But, you know what? Let it roll. Yeah.
So let's do that. Let's take our first break on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We will be back in a few minutes with more of the fun and hilarity. Keep it where you got it. Let's listen to Joe do some announcing.
Do you own a car? Or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from "there's something wrong with my car, but mechanics cost too much itis." Call the Motor Mouse at 516-572-7440. Our trained staff of two will help. There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
That wasn't Joe. This is Joe.
And now the first contribution today from the fabulous trio which is tops with British blues fans. With their own arrangement of the traditional cat squirrel, here's the Cream.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
If I were a car, I would go vroom, vroom, vroom.
If it's Motor Mouth, it's WHPC.
Excellent work there, Joseph. I gotta say, your enunciation was perfecto.
Blimey.
Yes, and Cat Squirrel is pretty damn good, too, I might add.
Oh, it's the Queen's knickers or something. Or whatever those people say, I don't know.
With the royal wedding behind us. Hey, you know, speaking of all of that cool stuff, you know, and
it's English cool, things, though. They drove off in an old XKE, so they're okay.
That's nice. I got to say, you know, people need to stay tuned. I know our audience does that. We have a lot of listeners who listen to Rob before us, who does the free-for-all. But also, Kim does Thunder Road following us on Sundays.
Thunder Road.
Which is not your ordinary Springsteen show.
Yeah, I have people. I have friends of mine that actually hang around after us now that, you know, they've learned about Kim, you know?
I'm kind of afraid some of those people like Kim better than us.
Well, that just means that they have a clue, of, you know.
Better taste.
They have class, yeah.
But her show is based on anything written, produced, or performed by Bruce Springsteen or a member of the E Street Band. So stay tuned at 1 and listen to that.
Yep. Yeah. That's the stuff if you want to hear Bruce.
Yeah.
The boss.
Exactly. So we had left off with Vic. We were talking about coupes and cabs and buckets and all that cool stuff. And,
yeah. Maybe there's one out there for your boy there.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I asked him. I said, why? That's actually, out of all the cars in hot rodding history, that's the one car. And, you know, my T-bucket would have, you know, steamrollers on the back and little in the front.
Of course, yeah.
But the driving position is so uncomfortable, even for someone like our size.
Right.
And this guy is taller. So you're going to fold yourself in, the steering wheel straight up. He's like, it's just going to be like a fun, some people want those things. So I said, okay.
Again, he's probably around bikes a lot. So, you know, he's probably used to being unroofed and and in some kind of compromising position or another. So what the heck? So this way, at least doesn't have to worry about falling over.
That's true.
Not in the usual sense.
Right, right.
I like tea buckets. I'd go for a ride one every time. Would I want to probably have one as part of the fleet? Mm. Nah, not at my age.
My thought would always be, I always wanted like a coupe, a chopped coupe, like a 30. My friend Tom had one, and I could have bought it back in the 80s, and I didn't. It's a 35 Dodge.
Ooh, all right.
Coupe.
Yeah.
You know, had a slight rake, forward rake, chopped top. But the problem with those cars is the floors, it's like a Dodge Challenger. The floors are just flat. So when you sit, you don't have a knee bend. Your legs just go straight out,
yes.
And that's a very uncomfortable position for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing about even more modern cars, when we're talking about even from, like, say, the 70s or the 60s, you know, they're a lot more comfortable to sit in. I mean, some of the older stuff, I mean... Some cars are just not built for comfort, or at least now we're spoiled. And I mean, and the newer cars, they pretty much give you like a massage and a chiropractic adjustment. And,
I had a transporter car. Me and Mike did a tow job the other day, and he hooked up a Honda, and we had to bring another car back to the shop. So he said, "Hey Ray, I want you to drive this." It was an Audi R8. An A8, not an R8. Okay. No, R8. Nice car, supercharged, but the leather seat. Now I know why people like those cars.
They're comfortable as heck.
And the brakes were like, stop on a dime, leave 9 cents change.
As long as you don't have to fix them.
Right.
Or maintain them.
Well, that's
or pay the dealership to buy it. They're great cars, you know. If you want to just jump in one and have a good time with it, yeah. But
well, that was the thing, Mike. They have one at the shop too that I could pick up. It has a slight rear end accident. Needs a little body work, not a big deal. But it's an A4.
It's all too familiar for you.
I know. There's an A4 though, and it's. And even Mike said, this car is the cleanest A4 I've ever seen. He goes, this thing is meticulous inside. You can tell a lot about a car and a driver by the way the interior of the car is kept. And you know this because we've talked about it, right? Well, and here you go. You know, if you're going to sell the car, you expect to see it in pretty immaculate condition.
Right.
But when you walk into a parking lot and see how people just drive their cars every day, there's the acid test.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
And case in point, if your car gets in an accident and I was in a shop, you didn't have time to clean it. That's the way it goes to the shop.
Right.
This thing is meticulous.
It's kind of like the automotive equivalent of mom says, always make sure you have clean underwear.
Exactly.
In case you get into an accident.
Exactly. Joe, not a receipt on the floor, not a cup in the, you know, nothing. This car was like apps. And
no stains? Not even stains?
No stains. The leather is clean. The carpets are nice.
Not even the smell of like last week's fast food or coffee or donut dust or something.
So he was saying this is a keeper. This would be a good car to pick up. And
sure.
So I'm thinking about it, like, you know, maybe for Jenny, we were talking about maybe offering the protege, and I'm thinking, an 04, A4.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I figured I'd get that look from you.
It's German.
I know. But yeah. Hans and Franz will come in and fix the car.
Yeah, we got to go that's through for that one.
I have to check the sunroof operation.
Yes. You make sure you have your stopwatch because it has to go 12.5 seconds.
We have to do it on a sunny day so we can tan.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Then you can sunbathe afterwards.
You know, if you want to catch where that comes from, listen to last week's Mother's Day special. Mm. And you will find you'll find that little bit there because
my partner Franz.
Yes.
From his Florida digs. Told us about relearning the sunroof. I think it was a Mercedes on that particular car, but you know the precision and the actual what you have to do to get stuff done based on the factory procedure, unless you get into big trouble.
Right.
And you could also find out what happens if your cooling fan doesn't work on a Volkswagen. You're a Schwett now.
Speaking of Mother's Day, I want to play something here that's kind of indicative. It came in a little late to get to make the show, but let's see if it'll work now. Let's see if this works, Joe.
Hey, look, it's Dougie Dartboy and Johnny Wrench. They showed up. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Yo, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening? Good to have you here. You know what's happening?
Whose Camaro is that out in the parking lot there, man? I brought the Chevelle here. What's going on?
Hey, maybe we can have a little run after the food and the show, you know?
First of all, dig into that food, man. What's that for?
Who's here on that? Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it could be yours if the Chevelle wins, you know?
I'll come over here and do the rest of the stuff.
That's great. Yeah, well, we try to keep everybody fit. We got plenty. Dig in, guys. Dig in. beers? The beers around? Yeah.
Beers are over there.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
All
man.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. I got one over there,
good.
Too, man.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. Nothing like it. Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, beautiful.
Salute. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, people have often said they want to know where we do Mother's Day from. They want to be invited to the party. You guys had your own freaking party.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we were at the, you know, we were at the, I was at the entrance to the UT.
Right.
And Dougie and Johnny, you know, Dartboard and Wrench, they came wandering in. And, of course, I had to greet them, you know, personally. Because, you know,
oh, of course.
They're high up on the list. I mean, I spend a lot of time with those guys. They're my boys. They're my bros.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had to make sure that they were fed and watered, or in this case, beard. And also, we had to make sure that the cars in the parking lot were parked safely. And
did the Camaro de Chevelle ever make a run out there?
I was in the bathroom. I missed it.
Ah.
So, you know, I mean, there was a lot of drinking and eating going on. So, unfortunately,
one
can only hold so much. And then, you know, it's like that commercial. You know, you miss stuff because you're in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. No, it sounded like heroes and beers and all sorts of cool stuff. And
well, yeah, but Mother's Day is quite the event, you know. And they cater it really good. Who are those guys you found out there? What do they call them guys? That local deli there? Actually, it's the UD, the undisclosed deli.
No, there you go, the UD, undisclosed deli. That's
well,
cool.
Yeah, we have to keep the theme going. So
we'll
have to remain undisclosed at least for the time being until such time as they allow, because otherwise they will be besieged upon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got to keep that stuff a secret. Yeah,
the beer flavored heroes are best.
Oh my word, that's something to behold for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, that reminded me, you know, of course, Mother's Day. You go back to motormouthradio.com in the tab of click the tab of the find a past
play
shows.
It back, and you could hear some of our quote unquote greatest hits,
yeah,
as it were, you know. And who knows, if you call in this, you know, from now until next year, you could be on the next one.
You never know
if you hit us with a gem. Wisdom or humor, or
I tell you,
maybe a little bit of quantum physics.
There's so much to cull from,
right?
That, you know, and each it's like a draft round. Each round you have to eliminate stuff because you just can't have all of it.
Yeah, we only have like an hour in between, like the between the breaks and the intros and so forth. You know, you got to cull that down to like maybe what, like
about
40
a half hour.
Minutes?
No, I had about 32 minutes of clips.
Right. So, you know, there's so much that goes on. You know, people call in all the time. They leave their little little bits of knowledge or humor, and it's a real hard process. It really is.
It's just like the best joke or the thing you laugh at the most. It's the stuff that happens without being planned.
Right.
You know, because we've had people
just
that would call
out of left field
to try to get on, you know, like, is that going to get on Mother's Day? Like, I don't know. It probably won't, you know, because, like, you're trying too hard. You can't try. You know?
Right, yeah.
It's like if you want to hang with the car guys, but
right,
you're not really a hardcore car guy, you know?
Right.
And you walk into that group and you say, hi, guys, I'm here. Let's talk about cars. Gee, that's a great wrench you have there, Joe. You know, it's like,
what are you doing talking about my tool?
The radar is up before
would
that
would you like
guy
to come over here and polish it for me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you gotta watch, and you know, as far as that goes, you'd be surprised. You know, it's out of the mouth of babes or callers.
Yeah.
I think we got another caller. So let's see if they got Mother's Day material.
Let's try this and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys? Dartboard Doug here.
Hey, Doug
Boy, what's up?
What's going on?
We found that recording of you guys.
Yeah, I heard you. I was still at the party. Took me a week to get out of there.
That's a problem, yeah.
Did you find Wrench yet?
See, he's somewhere.
Somewhere. Stuck in a toolbox.
I hear yelling in the background. Is that him? Is he stuck onto something again?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm actually not at the UD. I'm at the house right now.
Oh, okay.
It sounds quieter, yeah.
Trying to get a couple of cars in order. But,
okay.
My question is to you, Joe.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy? All right?
You know, still standing.
We never heard the story that about your town and country with the shorted out light.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's from a couple weeks ago. That was
the real light.
Yeah, the tail light thing. Yeah,
I heard about it.
Yeah, I know you heard it. Well, we swap horror stories.
Well, maybe the listeners might want to hear that because that's a bizarre thing, you know?
Yeah. That was definitely a bizarre thing. I think what happened is we kind of got sidetracked and waylaid. But you know what? You're absolutely right. That is a good tale to tell.
We'll do that in the next segment, Doug. That's a great idea. Yeah,
all right.
Because
I just wanted to check in with you guys.
Doug was here for that. And as a matter of fact, he held the pick, and I held the pliers, and we found out how many people of Italian descent it takes to change a light bulb.
Yeah, man.
Well,
Dougie, change the things have happened in the UD.
Dougie, just
remember that anytime you want to come in here, we got a seat for you, so it's always an open forum when you want to come down.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and make it today, but I had a party last night. And
right.
Yeah.
I had some stuff I had to do this morning.
Right.
But
get up.
Yeah, we got to find Wrench too. You know, I don't know where the hell he went, but that's okay.
He'll
exactly. He usually does. We'll see the snorkel come out from someplace. You know. All right. Well, good. You know what?
All right, guys.
That's a really good reminder. Thank you very much, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
All right. Watch
them
dodge.
Later. Thank you.
Catch you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That was Dougie at Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. It's about time for another break. So that means we got to queue up another thing from Joe here. I know you were talking about some... You really got eloquent with some of your...
some of my British stuff.
Some of your descriptions, yeah. So
that's what happens when you watch Doctor Who too much.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's hear some of that, and we'll come back with more Motormouth Radio in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it.
All right, all you groovy, tuned-in, turned-on, way-out fans, here's a sample of your kind of music as we feature Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Jack Bruce, otherwise the Cream, in Strange Brew.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's Ron Stevens. Did you miss me? Well, I'm making my triumphant return to WHPC. The Super 70s, Saturday mornings at 7, and the Central 80s, Saturday afternoons at 2.
I just can't get enough. Ron Stevens is back.
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you. I love all the things you say and do.
I'm the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHBC.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Strange Brew. We got a lot of strange. A lot of Strange Brew going around in here all the time, Joe.
Oh, yes. This place, what are you kidding me?
And this is great because this is all from the BBC session. So I know that was when you had that. You were overseas for a while. No one knew where you were.
Right. You know,
in the overseas UD. And
The boat ride there was tough, yeah.
That must have been tough, yeah.
Yeah. You know what it's like trying to water ski behind an ocean liner?
I saw that on Mythbusters. They actually did it behind, I think they had like 40 water skiers. It was some kind of world record thing. I don't know.
That was just me being discreet in the outside there. Besides that, I had to get to England, to try to talk to Jack, Ginger, and Eric there.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, well, I don't travel the pond for everyone, you know.
I know that. Yeah. Well, it's got to be worthwhile, that's for sure.
Yeah. So talking about Strange Bruce, should I tell the light bulb story?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So all right, let's see if I can try to cut this down. But this is like one of those times where knowing too much can actually be a disadvantage.
Okay.
And what happened is my rolling toolbox, my Chrysler Town & Country minivan, which, you know, doubles as my diagnostic hauling wagon there.
Mm-hmm.
I pull up in front of the house, get out of the car, you know, my foot hit the brake, just, I don't know why. And I saw, you know, I had my headlights off, and I see my parking lights light up. I take my foot off the brake, the parking lights go out. I'm like, what's going on? Now, in my head, immediately goes through, all right, this stuff, you know, having memorized the wiring diagrams, I says, all that stuff goes through the intelligent power module, which is over by the left headlight there.
The
behind
IPM?
Yes, and they're known for having all kinds of goofy stuff going on with them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, what goes through my mind is, okay, this thing, you know, having done like a boatload of them at the shop for all kinds of different things, air conditioning, ABS brakes, power window, everything in the car electrical. It's the fuse box and the relay box for those minivans. It's, you know, like the 2001, 2007 Chrysler minivans. And I'm like, oh, God, now it's my turn. $400
yeah,
you know, for a new one. And from the you know, from the junkyard, which now you got to cross your fingers of what other problem you're going to pick up besides fixing yours.
Is that one under the hood or in the car?
It's under the hood.
Okay.
It's under the hood, and all the harnesses go to it. It's in a great spot because it gets battery acid on it. Thanks, Chrysler.
They probably mount it, like, right under the battery, right?
Right next to it.
Good place.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. So I went over to the UD the next night after I finished my term of doing some diagnostics there at the shop. And I pull up the wiring diagram. I start doing tests. I pull the parking route light relay out, check the fuses, you know, see if there's, you know, I see there's power coming through places that there shouldn't be when I step on the brake. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So now you're looking at something shorted.
Right. I see something shorted. And I'm like, okay, that's probably why he's touching on that. Or the problem with that fuse box, and actually this happens to quite a bit of more modern vehicles. GM had a big issue with some of this with their headlight circuits. And I fixed a couple of trailblazers that they actually died out. What happens is that inside that box, they're just thin metal strips.
Okay.
That run, you know, parallel to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get hot, they start touching, or they lose contact. You know, it all depends on which way is going to screw you up the most.
Yeah.
And this thing had a definite backfeed through the parking light circuit from the brake circuit, because when I pulled the brake light fuse out, everything stopped. And I says, okay, it's coming from there. And at that point, I said to myself, self, it's getting late. You're right. You already missed Jeopardy. You didn't see what Vanna was wearing. You know, I mean, you got to go home because it's time to get up in the morning and, you know, start this all over again at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I buttoned everything up, went home with my lights still flashing as I stepped on the brakes. And, you know, they get some really odd looks from people, especially in the daylight. I was really happy when I had the headlights turned on because it wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So a couple days go by. And, you know, I'm doing my research on how much the thing's going to cost. And I go back to the UD. I pull out my meter, pull out my test lights, you know what I mean? Have my wiring diagram taped to the side of the windshield so I could see it and everything. And I, you know, what just goes through my head in the diagnostic process sometimes, I remembered something that happened to me in, like, the 1980s when I was more of a pup with this. And I was over my partner Franz's house. We were doing something else, and I was talking about this thing I had to go friggin' troubleshoot there. And Franz's dad is a mechanic from way back. Mm-hmm. And I told him what was going on. He goes, check the bulb, you dumbass kid. Two of the filaments shorted. I'm like, what? He goes, check the bulbs. So that went through my head. I heard his voice. And, you know, right after the echo from the dumbass kid faded, Dougie and I proceeded to pull the taillights out of the toolbox one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So disconnect the right side. Nothing. Step on the brake, still happen. Disconnect the left side, because on that you can just pull the entire assembly, one plug, right out. It stops doing it.
Okay, isolation.
Yeah, you know, process of elimination, divide and conquer. Yeah, there's a couple of different ways of that announcing that strategy. And then the next thing I know, we pull it apart, we pull the taillight apart, and one of the bulbs is black.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it got, like, 10 million volts through it. Or actually, I was thinking about it. I spend a lot of time in traffic because I was using that car every day to commute. And, you know, going up Northern Boulevard, you spend half your time with the foot on, your foot on the brakes.
Sure.
And when I looked at it closely through the darkness, you could see where the filaments were touching.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took that one bulb out, put the taillight back in, because there's a lot of modern cars now have a circuit board which runs through everything to distribute it rather than having a whole rat's nest of wires back there, and it stopped. So we pulled apart. The bulb now was... the bulb was kind of melted to the socket. Now, it's Saturday afternoon. I think it was raining. It was dark. I was hungry. So we decided to pop the bulb out. So Dougie and I took our positions with two little picks, and we actually launched the bulb out, fixed the contacts, got a bulb, stuck it in, voila, it's done.
It's a bayonet-style bulb.
Yeah, it's a 3157, I think Yeah.
Okay.
And we're back to normal now.
Wow.
Go figure.
Yeah, yeah.
But the moral of that story is like I'm looking at wiring diagrams and, while I was at the UD, they're watching me talk to myself, drawing stuff with my little colored pencils and all that. And like, you didn't find it yet, Joe? I'm like, no, I got to pull the fuse box up next and isolate, part different sections of the fuse box. And then, like I said, I just got sick of it, put it back together, took a step back, thought about it, came back there a day, what was it, a day later, 2 days later, and it just kind of hit me while I was sitting there getting ready to dig in.
Right.
The simplest stuff, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, mechanics and tinkerers, basically you got the simplest solution is usually the best one you want to go with.
You know, that's the thing, I know you, with your diagnostic training, you tend, I think just from history, just to go to the... to the worst case scenario, because you've seen so many worst case scenarios.
I go down the rabbit hole a lot.
Which isn't, that's how you train, so I understand that.
Right. Well, usually by the time it gets to me, somebody's already done the usual straight-up dumb stuff. This, of course, was my own vehicle.
Well, of course.
So,
that's the thing. If someone called you and said, Joe, my car is doing this, what should I do? You would have told them exactly what you proceeded to do to check that.
Right. Device. Start breaking down the circuit, tracing it out and so forth. But in this particular case, that thing, when I encountered this, when I was... My first lesson in this was like 1985 or so.
Ooh.
All right, so I saw one other occasion since then to my own vehicle. So that's like what, 30 years?
Right.
So it don't happen a lot.
It wasn't in the front of the diagnostic wheelhouse.
There you go. But sometimes you want to go with this. You want to eliminate the simplest stuff first.
Well, that's the thing. But you are trained to do it a different way. So.
Especially, and here's the other thing, the other takeaway from that, too, is that we all have, if you do a lot of this stuff, you get what you call the silver bullet or the red car.
Right.
Oh, that car don't start and it's ready, it needs a fuel pump.
Exactly.
That car, you want to fix that misfire on that Nissan? Yeah, you got to put coils in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And meanwhile, the car that you're actually working on may have, instead of a misfire, that coil... related, it's actually an injector.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, the whole red car syndrome is like, you don't check, you immediately go for the silver bullet there, which you got to try to stay back from. Spend a few minutes doing the checks, or at least make sure you know how the thing works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and yours, it wasn't a singe or a turnstile. It was like a nice gimme. You got a nice little break.
Yeah, I mean, we were laughing about it. I mean, that was a good one,
Unlike,
especially it was my own car.
Unlike when I tried to work on my own car yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that phone call.
Whoa. All I wanted to do, brought the car into the shop, do an oil change. I've had the serpentine belt and the AC belt for a year. I figured, let me change those. And, the serp belt was a piece of cake, but the AC belt is a stretch type belt, which is very common these days. You cut it off the car because the AC compressor doesn't adjust. The belt actually stretches. And there is a tool to install it, much like a shoehorn, which I bought from Gates, same company that sold me the belt.
Right.
Which the tool, then I found out the tool didn't fit anything. They showed it going on the lower pulley, and in this case, that would be the AC compressor, which there's no way it was going to go in there.
Yeah.
So I threw the red flag out to you to say, Joe, what the heck is going on? You found some info that showed contrary. They showed you had some Mazda tools that worked off the top pulley.
Right.
Bottom line was I could not put that belt on. And it really ticked me off because I bought the right tool.
Yeah, right.
Supposedly.
Ray is always very prepared. He's very organized. He doesn't go into stuff willy-nilly. You know what I mean? It's not like, how many hammers am I going to use to fix this? Ray goes in with a battle plan. And when somebody takes the battle plan and screws up the information that he, you know, the assumptions that he has to work with, that's rough.
To Johnny. That's what I'm going to do. Well, so... I'm going back today after the show, and I'm going to attack this because I watched some videos where they showed. I watched videos that showed how to install it with the tool, which would be easy. And there's other videos that show how to zip tie the belt to the pulley and kind of let it walk around. And they made it look really easy.
Right. There was the one guy there with like the vice grips and the C clamps and
So I'm thinking that may be a plan. I got to give it a try because I'm just so ticked off that it didn't work with the tool.
Right.
That I want to go give it a shot. So you're more than welcome to come and watch the festivities if you feel
this. This might be fun. Yeah. I mean, just. So, you know, a lot of these, the companies that put stuff out, and believe me, I know this from personal experience, you know, instruction sheets and test fitting and the various things that could possibly go wrong on your side because, you know, on the consumer side, is that a lot of times they don't check every stinking car that they say that an item fits or that a tool operates with. You know,
well, they're gonna find out from me.
Oh yeah, well, you know, hopefully they do that where they'll log it in and they'll research it out, which is another thing to keep in mind too. If you got something like that, call the company. But they should have customer service.
Be respectful.
Yeah, be respectful. Tell them what you see. In English with not that many expletives. You know, a couple is allowed, it's okay. But, you know, what happens is a good company will take note of that and they'll investigate it. You know, I mean, that's part of my day is that people say, hey, you know, this doesn't fit this particular car or whatever, even though you got a catalog. And sure enough, we go back, we backtrack and we find, whoops. And then we take it out of the catalog or the instruction sheet. There's an extra, we left out a step, but there's an extra step on certain particular cars. You know, but if we don't hear about it,
then you don't know.
You know, and that's any company, then we just keep on going fat, happy, and stupid. So, you know, information is power, you know?
You're right. So speaking of fat, happy, and stupid, let's take our last break. I know you had a special finale thing planned on this thing of yours. So let's go. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, MotormouthRadio.com. Check us, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And we will be back after this last break when Joe stretches his vocal cords one more time.
We're into our finale here on Top of the Pops. And here's the last number today from The Cream, a swinger titled Steppin' Out.
This show is brought to you by the Empire State Fair, Long Island, at NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, from May 11th through May 20th.
Enjoy food and over 100 rides and attractions. You can even take a ride on the Batcopter.
Including live entertainment with death-defying daredevil acts, a sea lion splash, and racing pigs.
More information about the Empire State Fair, May 11th through May 20th, can be found at EmpireStateFair.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
All right, we're going.
Can we say no man anymore? It's got to be no one.
You're right.
You got to use the Picard version there.
Yes.
But that's all right. We get the idea. And besides that, there are some places that, you know, you just only want no men not to go to.
You got that right.
So just keep that in mind. We're not sexist. It's just like 1968 stuff. What can I tell you? But
yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a story you wanted to relay, Joe?
A little Toyota tech tip that came across because,
okay,
God knows, well, actually, I'm living proof because I have a 25-year-old, 27-year-old Toyota in the parking lot today with me.
Right.
And this goes to, because there are so many old Toyotas still out there, Toyota / Lexuses, that this is something that might come in handy to a lot of people. Even though those are OBD1 cars, mm-hmm, you know, like we're talking, you know, pre-1996, Toyota used to provide a diagnostic port under the hood. It's a little rectangular box. It usually says diagnosis or diag or OBD. Even some of them even say OBD.
Okay.
And if you pop the cover on it, and there's a whole bunch of little terminals in there that go to different things.
Mm-hmm.
You could read your oxygen sensor. You could read your fuel pump voltage. I mean, there's a whole array. You have to look at the wiring diagram to see what's for each car. But you'd be surprised at what you could do without having to dig stuff out. Because Jap cars, as a rule, everything is so tightly packed that unless you have little tiny hands, you're not getting in there. So this is a great place
to probes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask where a person could find a call out or a pin out for that connector.
Well, actually, if you flip it, when you open it up, the inside of the cover has them.
Oh, nice.
But they're in Toyota. Like E1 is ground.
Okay.
Yeah, and some of them make sense, like B+, you know what I mean, or IG, you know, which is ignition. The reason why we came across this was there was a 92 Lexus at the shop. Now, this has, it was an ES300, which is basically a Camry with leather seats, and it has a hydraulically operated cooling fan, which means it's not electric, all right? It actually works off the pressure of the power steering pump. And the stupid thing didn't work. The car would overheat, or the fan would come on. It would come on very slowly. And
you will sweat now.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck. I don't know how you say that in Japanese, but it's
I don't know.
Oh,
so I went to German.
Oh, now you sweat.
There you go.
You sweat now. You open window. You drive. You drive fast. You get ticket. Ah, okay. Anyway,
good enough.
Okay, FCC's coming for that one.
No, but Mother's Day next year is so.
So at that point, they had this aftermarket fan and this rat's nest of wires that they're about to put in front of the radiator on the car. And I'm like, yeah, wow. And the car's like, why are you doing that? And, you know, they're like, well, we don't, you know, we're not going to screw around with this. We're just going to fix it. Yeah, we're just going to put a fan on it. And so now you're going to leave a fan in the front of the radiator, restricting airflow on its own.
They got a bunch of quarter box fan to the front of the car.
Yeah, well, I mean, they probably couldn't fit it with the hood closed, so
right.
that got off. So what happens was, you know, and the wiring becomes a rat's nest.
Yeah.
And there's no real good place to hook it up, so that way it's not on all the time, which is not good on its own, because especially if the weather cools off, now the car doesn't go into closed loop, and there's all kinds of other problems that you generate.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, I was like, I remember this. I've seen this before. So I looked at the wiring diagram, and there was OP1 in that little diagnostic connector, which was, I'm not sure what OP has to do with fan.
Right.
So they're like, well, you don't have a scanner for that. What are you going to do? You know, how are you going to work on this genius? I says, give me a paperclip. So I took a paperclip.
The old paperclip.
And I jumped OP1 to E1. So in other words, I grounded this. This is the fan terminal, which I just sent the command to, like, you've got a svet now,
right,
to the fan control computer. It has its own fan control computer. I love it.
Jeez.
The fan comes on like a friggin' DC-3.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, what do we know now? We know the fan works. We know the hydraulic system works. We know the blades work. Okay, so what else is left? The cooling sensor. Toyota has their own cooling sensor, which is separate from everything else, so that, you know, redundancy.
To control the fan, yeah.
P.S. Okay, it was a $100 unit.
Okay,
but it works fine now.
Probably a lot cheaper than it would be if you had to replace that fan control unit, if you could find one.
Right, if you could, yeah.
You have any idea what that thing would cost?
Well, it's a 25-year-old car. It's a couple, $500-$600.
Yeesh.
But you know what the thing is? You know, that's one thing I know. If this is one thing about the red car syndrome, or like they all do that syndrome.
Yeah.
It's like the modules don't break.
Right,
you have
right.
to do something really filthy to it, like hooking up the battery, you know, backwards or something, like 7 times.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen. But the main tip I wanted to give is that there is, especially even on OBD1 cars, Toyotas, is that you could pop that connector and you could see a lot of stuff. You know, so if you're if your checks, you know, lead you to like the oxygen sensor or the fuel pump or any of that kind of stuff, you could do it right from there without having to go crazy digging components out, you know, taking out trim panels, all that kind of crazy stuff. And, you know, not for nothing, I've actually seen that too. Hyundai Kias have a version of that as well. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you may want to look around. You know, this is the kind of thing where you could cheat and use Google. You know, so, but if there is like a diagnostic connector like that,
we're not communicating over here. I want to show Kim why the CD.
Yes, I know. I see the American Sign Language flying there, and
I don't want it to eat it. So
Ray, you need more fingers to do sign language.
I know. Ran out.
Wait, what is the
CD? I did.
You know, we're gonna have to take that CD player apart, and we're gonna have to do something with it.
We can do that.
Well, yeah, I know. We're gonna have to wrench it. But
Kim can flash drive.
We'll not do that now because we don't want to have to bring in the mop or the fire extinguisher for the for the beginning of Kim's show. We can't do that to Kim because she's got the boss to play. Right. You know,
we'll let that wait. So that's a great tip, Joe. I'm glad you relayed that. And I want to say in a few weeks we're going to have a woman. Yeah, that woman Audra from. I don't have the paper in front of me. From she's
Audra Forden.
Yeah, she does.
Women Auto. No, she's on Facebook and stuff. Yeah,
right. And she runs
a
fire shop.
She's a sharp. Well, I can't say girl, but
no,
she's a sharp woman. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I know her because her dad had a shop in Queens over by the outside of Flushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yes, Kim was saying she was on a show called Law You Should Know here. Oh yeah, Audra Forden. There she is. It's on the computer.
And when I was a kid delivering parts, I seem to remember there was the guy who owned the shop had his two daughters working there in various functions. So,
which is always kind of interesting when daughters work in a shop. You know,
I think it's cool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. As a matter of fact, girls are just as able to do stuff these days on cars than guys.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean. Especially because now a lot of it requires smarts and intuitive thinking and stuff like that.
Which blows a lot of the guys of the same age out of the box.
Right, right. You know what I mean. With power tools, you don't even really need muscles anymore.
True, true.
Although the whole manicure thing might become problematic at some point. But
you're getting your daughter back this week from college, which is nice. That's
right,
always,
right, right.
That's always
great.
So this is the time. Everybody's graduating. Kids are going to
graduation.
Yeah, NASA's graduation is tonight, this afternoon rather, and it's that time of year. I remember when I was younger, hanging out in the bars, it was like, why there's so many people here? Like whenever all the kids are back from college. You know, like, damn, when the hell are you gonna get out of here?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Then towards the end of the summer you realize like, hey, where'd everybody go? Oh good, the kids left.
Yeah.
They were all it was same age because I didn't go away to college, right?
More room for us, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's face it, that's just the next crop, and then you move out of that to the dad thing. Can we fit that in?
It's gonna be slim. Yes, Carla, you're on with the motor mouse. You gotta make
fast.
It quick.
Yes, very quick. This is Liz.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I like the gentleman saying that a woman knows about car as well as men.
You were one of the people I was thinking about when I said that.
I am one of them. You know, I still have a Honda with 120,000 miles. element, and I just got the sweat down. I got, you know, I always, the tires are, you know, changed regularly, and I watch my car like I watch a kid, you know.
Very good. Excellent, Liz.
Okay, so who are you? I mean, I usually talk to Chris.
Well, Chris hasn't been on the show now in about 2 years. It's Ray, me, you talked to me before, and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe's been here a lot, too. He was here even before Chris. He was sitting with
us. I used to be the janitor.
Yeah, for quite a while, so.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry, but, you know, I have been away in Europe a lot, so I
did not
talk with your staff. But thank you so much.
Well, don't be a stranger. Call us whenever you feel free.
Yeah, by all means, we miss you.
Wait a minute. You used to have a party in a garage, I remember.
That was our 10th year anniversary party, yes.
Are you going to have another one?
We'll keep you apprised of that. If we'd like to do it, if we're going to do it, we'll let you know. Yes, that's on our things to do.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Liz, we got
to
go.
Nice to hear from you.
Okay.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right, Joe, and with that, we do got to go. Kim is here ready to...
saddle up, lock and load.
So let's get out of here. We'll be back next week with more Motormouth Radio. See ya.
Adieu.